Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Good morning again, church. It is wonderful to be in worship with you all and preaching for the first time in a while. Actually, it's been a few Sundays off with Gary getting his start here and annual conference and different things, and it's great to be back up here. And today we begin a new teaching series that I'm really very excited about, called The Deepest Desires of Your Heart. We're going to spend some time exploring how we connect to God and the ways that God has a call on our lives. So please join me now as we go before God in prayer. God, as we come before you today, earnestly seeking after you, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing. May they be acceptable in your sight. O God, our great rock. O God, our redeemer. Amen. So there's this thing about us humans, which is that frequently, we are not always the best at knowing what we need, or maybe seeking what we need. Beyond the basics like, you know, food and water, we're not always the best at knowing what we need for our lives or what is best for us. Now, have you ever considered if you lived your life and you always got what you wanted? Think about that for a second. Think about parents, if your children always got what they wanted. All of the candy. Never going to bed. Watching that movie that you know they shouldn't watch. All of the toys. I'm pretty sure as a child, if I had gotten all that I wanted, my room would have just been full of Legos, and I would have only eaten peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, because that's what I wanted. Or maybe you think back to high school, and there's that high school crush that sometimes works out really great, and then there's other days where you get older and you're like, thank Jesus I didn't marry Tina from English class. And as we grow older, our desires might change a little bit, but we're still not always great about knowing what's best for us. But the difference is we get to deal with our own consequences instead of our parents, right? Yeah, we still have a propensity to want to eat too much food, maybe stay up too late. We still want our own version of our toys, the dream vacation, the bigger house, the job promotion, success, status, wealth. Oscar Wilde once said, there are only two tragedies in life. One is not getting what one wants. The other is getting it. Or there's that magnet that Katie had on her family's fridge growing up. If all of my prayers were answered, I'd be forced to question God's judgment. All of these desires that we have connect to something deeper within us. We all have longings deep within our hearts, longings that can't be satisfied by maybe some of these more shallow things that show up in our lives. Because on our own, we will very rarely ever pick our own best interests or maybe our eternal best interests. It's not that these desires are inherently bad, but we're quick to try to fill a deeper desire with something that isn't. So you see, a desire for something like success or money or power or a desire for more food in our lives all connect to a deeper desire that we have. And then we have this job of discerning between what is the deeper desire and what desires connect with that shallowness. Yet these desires are not in and of themselves bad. Desire is a key part of spirituality because desire is a main way that God's voice can be heard in our lives. And in fact, Scripture speaks to this quite a bit. And throughout Jesus' ministries, he's always reminding his followers that there's something greater, something deeper that they are called to follow. And today we're going to look at this story of Jesus, a parable of Jesus in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, or you can follow along on the screens. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus tells this parable that would have been a really familiar situation for his listeners. That the sheepfold is the equivalent of a sheep pen. It would have been a rock enclosed fence with one entrance, which is also the only exit. And after leading the sheep in from pasture, the shepherd would have then slept for the night in front of the gate so that bandits or thieves could not get in, so that wild animals couldn't come in and get these sheep. And as he entered, he would have counted them each as they came in. He would have slept there to protect them. And the sheep know the shepherd, and the shepherd knows the sheep. See, there's this fairly intimate relationship between a shepherd and a sheep, far more intimate relationship than I ever want to have with a sheep. But a shepherd is incredibly attuned to every need the sheep has. The shepherd would lead the sheep to greener pastures because sheep on their own aren't very good at taking care of themselves. The shepherd would have led the sheep to the water source, again, because sheep aren't really good at taking care of themselves. The shepherd would have defended the sheep from thieves and from bandits and wild animals. The shepherd would have been attuned if a sheep had hurt a leg or had a scrape and put salve to heal it. The shepherd is deeply attuned to the desires and the needs of the sheep. And in this story, Jesus contrasts the shepherd with that of the thieves and the bandits, right? The thieves, they come to steal, they come to kill and destroy because they don't care and do not know the needs of the sheep. Because they don't know the sheep, and the sheep don't know them. Jesus uses this as an example to speak of his relationship with those who follow him, with us. Jesus proclaims that he is the shepherd, he is the gate for the sheep. There may have been lots of others who have come before, lots of other things that may promise to fulfill a desire of their hearts, but those before were all thieves and bandits. Jesus has come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And I love that whenever you look this word up in the Greek, that you could also be translated excessive or to the full. I have come that you may have life to the fullest, to the most excessive of kind of life. This idea of, I have come that you may have the mostest life. Or as Eugene Peterson writes in the Message translation, "I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they have ever dreamed of." The invitation of Jesus is to follow, and in following, to find the deepest and greatest desires of our heart. We do this by listening to the voice of the shepherd. Doing this is to have a life that is fully and completely lived and found in God. This is where abundant life is found. The theologian Augustine of Hippo writes, "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee." I'm not sure why I used the Old English translation of that, but I did. But it's the lyrics to the song that the band just sang. Our hearts are restless until we find our rest in God. Maybe you've been living life and you felt a stirring at points. A stirring that you weren't satisfied with the way things are. Maybe with your own life. With the way things are going, with your job, with your social life. Maybe something stirred in your heart that things aren't right in the world. You long for purpose and justice and something to change. underlying that stirring is a deeper and greater desire for an abundant kind of life, a life that can only be found in God. See, the shepherd, I think, calls out the sheep by name, but we don't always hear very well, do we? There's a lot of noisiness in our lives, a lot of things going on that don't allow us to always hear the voice of Jesus calling us in a given situation. I like to think of the thief and the bandit being noisy. The thief's influence is to be loud and jarring. It distracts us. It divides us. It leads us astray, not because we want to follow, but because we can't hear the voice of the good shepherd amidst the clamor and the chaos. See, I think the thief leads us to focus on the shallow desires, not the deep desires. The thief tries to tell us that our spiritual life and then the rest of our lives are two separate things. The thief tells us that our selfish desires are what matters. The thief tells us that we are called to care only for ourselves and those we like. The thief separates us from our life of God by feeding us the lie that we can be satisfied by these shallow desires instead of asking God to reveal those deeper desires within our heart. But when we follow the call of Jesus in our lives, it's an invitation to live an integrated and whole life, to acknowledge that all of life is spiritual, that we're not separate from the physical and the spiritual as if they're pitted against each other, but that our fulfillment of life is as much in the spiritual as it is in the physical. Pierre de Chardin writes, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." Which means that to discover the deepest desires of our hearts is to understand our lives as integrated and whole. It means to attend to that spiritual side of things. An abundant life is where our deepest desires are found in God. When we try to fill a spiritual need with physical stuff, we will always be found wanting, lacking, desiring more. Our hearts are restless until they are found in God. See, our desires, whenever they come up, they point to a greater and a deeper need, which means they may not be in and of themselves bad. The problem is that when these shallow things, things like fame and success and wealth, become the end goal in and of themselves instead of the result of a life that's lived faithfully. See, that's not the point. We read earlier that the Psalm 37, it's the psalm of trusting in God, that God will carry us through the hard times, that God will pull us through even whenever our enemies are against us. And it has this verse that frequently gets grossly misinterpreted. Psalm 37:4 reads, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Now, some people will take this verse and say, well, that means is all I need to do is delight in the Lord, then I'll get that new sports car. I'll delight in the Lord, then I'll get that new lake house. I'll delight in the Lord, and then I'll get blessed, and blessings and riches will flow upon me. Ever heard people say stuff like that? Maybe. But that's not what the psalmist is getting at. Because delighting in the Lord is the ultimate desire of our heart in the first place. See, we have our deepest desires fulfilled by delighting in God, who is in the life given us by God. Delighting in God isn't some kind of magical formula to get all that we want. No, to delight in the Lord means to live from the deepest desires of our heart. It means that desire would be shaped and formed by a God who calls us to follow. Our hearts are restless till they find our rest in God. So friends, today, where is your heart restless? In the next few weeks, we're going to explore how God can speak to us, speak to this spiritual component, this spiritual need to be filled by God. But as we begin this journey, take a moment. Have you ever thought about what do you desire most? What are the things that well up within your heart that you long for? What do you long for your life? What do you long for your family? What do you long for your church, for your community, for your world? What is the desires that are welling up within your heart? And here's the invitation, and it's really simple. Pour out those desires before God and invite God to work in that space. You see, expressing those longings and those desires bring us closer to God. Imagine you have a close friend and you never ever tell them some of your innermost thoughts. That friendship would always remain distant, wouldn't it? It would never go to a deeper level. See, when we tell God those places of desire, those deepest desires, our relationship with God deepens. And even whenever we express those, maybe even what seem, feel like shallow desires, God might start speaking to us in a new and fresh way. God might start speaking to us to say, well, what's underneath those desires? Is it a sense of security that you long for? Then perhaps it is a sense of trust that you need to be led to. I love the way the Catholic priest, Father James Martin, writes, "The deep longings of our hearts are holy desires. Not only desires for a physical healing, but also the desires for change, for growth, for a fuller life. Our deepest desires, those desires that lead us to become who we are God's desires for us. They are ways that God speaks to us directly." So y'all, what do you desire today? What's God been stirring within your heart recently? As I invite the band forward, I'm going to invite us into a moment of just silence and prayer and reflection upon where might God be stirring something in your heart. Ask God to reveal that desire to you. Ask God what that desire means. Allow God to speak to you in and through that desire. And as you do this, I think as we do this, our restless heart may just start to find its rest in the one who holds us, in the one who calls us by name. So I now invite you into a time of just silent reflection and prayer. Where is God calling you? What is that desire that has been stirred within your heart?
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.